When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, had shown great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. And when they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zachary after his father. But the mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered, "There's no one among your relatives that has that name." So they made signs asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all were amazed. Immediately, his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all the neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." And so the gospel of the Lord. In this holiday season, it's unlikely that Christ will be found amid the crush of commercial Christmas. And Christ will probably not be seen in the duty-bound busyness and the rush of duty that so often characterizes these hectic days. Give yourself the gift of time in this holy season. Bless yourself with silence. You yourself now need to be born to the greater possibilities of the feast. As a busy pastor, I'm pushed into hyperactivity, a better Christmas experience, a better sermon, gearing up for all the different groups that come together, why, even a better collection. But it's time to put a stop to all the nonsense and explore the time. Things will be good enough. Depart from the exhaustion of duty. Coast a bit. It's just a day or so before the great feast. Take it easy. Things will be really quite adequate. Zachary is speechless as a result of the conflict between his expectation and God's generosity. I think that's the clue. The gospel presents an elaborate pantomime before the father to find out what the name of the son will be. Elizabeth has broken the tradition. No, he'll be called John. Something new is afoot. We always name the son after his father. Imagine the scene, how silly we look when we try to communicate through silent gestures, a party game. And we are astonished when Zachary's voice breaks through, loud and clear, "His name is John." And then he continues with that great hymn of praise that the church loves to say at the beginnings of each day. We need to take time to allow a word of deep recognition and blessing to well up in the hunger of our souls. And indeed, my hunger is very great in this year. Wars continue, the wealthy rewarded, the poor ignored, refugees still suffer, epidemic disease shatters countries in Africa, riots flare up because people too easily targeted by law enforcement have raised a voice only to have their situation exploited by thugs who delight in plunder and destruction of businesses and theft, all too clear in Berkeley. And worst of all, and most heartbreaking, trusted government agencies have systematically tortured people in my name and in yours. I too am mute, like Zachary. I need some time of silence before I can find a voice which will welcome a Prince of Peace for all peoples, a Savior, one to give direction to my life in a time filled with conflict and contradiction. The worst offer all the answers. The best are mute. The busy, rushing crowds offer elevator Christmas music, carols, and Black Thursdays of the soul. Excuse me, Black Fridays of the soul. Hunger and silence. Take time to name the longing of your heart. Visit the area you don't control. journey with Zachary through the days of mute preparation, that we too might find a voice to name the moment of our salvation. Because of the sacredness of the time, because we have taken time, we're able to name the full extent of our desire. Such fundamental longing through a time and source of bewilderment and pain is something holy placed in us by God, who has lovingly created us for more. And in this holy time of celebration of the birth of his Son, calls us to the fullness of life. Zachary is confused by all this. Elizabeth is surprised, and the mime of adult friends is given by people totally confounded by what's going on. His name is John. Zachary speaks from the miracles of his restored speech. Elizabeth has spoken as her faith is being broadened. The mime troupe of friends and kindly advisors are astonished and perhaps delighted over something that is really new and rings true in a way that resonates to the very depths of their souls. You see, we need a Christmas to rise up in the depths of our being. It's not too hard for me to acknowledge a Savior as long as it doesn't get personal. It's also good to know that my sins are forgiven. But what really strikes me and pushes me to silence is the growing awareness which this feast of Christmas brings, that the Christ, the very Son of God, wants to engage me, to live in my soul, to expand my life, so that it becomes a reflection of his own love for all peoples. That's truly frightening, and I am lost for words. Salvation in general sounds grand, but the particular bringing of my soul to life in ways that are particular really will do good for others, really challenges my moral imagination. But I have to go down. We locate ourselves between Zachary's expectations and God's generosity. Remember, Zachary did not control the situation. Through the years, I have always been attentive to Christmas, the liturgy, searching for God in a sacred time of beginnings. Though I am of a more flexible persuasion, liberal perhaps, has connotations that greatly miss the mark, but there we have it. Perhaps human is even a better word to describe my religious sensibility. Every observance leads to the manger. I've approached with the hillside shepherds, watched carefully with the angels, and even in highly decorative and sometimes outlandish liturgical dress, approached with the wise men, or kings if you prefer. And this has proven satisfactory. But this year, I'm aware that my gestures have been too small, too predictable. While repetition of sacred moments can often be very creative and satisfying, this year something more is needed. I have to draw back just a bit from the frenzy of Christmas and let Christ find me. This is a delightful story that I found in a surprisingly helpful book of stories from the Alcoholics Anonymous tradition, The Theology of Imperfection. A little girl lived by a forest, and one afternoon, she walked into the forest for the first time by herself. She was delighted with the trees and the small meadows, the streams. Everything was fresh and beautiful. And one wonderful spot just led to another. Lost in beauty, she forgot the time and only became aware that she should return home just as the shadows of evening began to show. She looked around and realized that she was lost. So she wandered on, and finally, as darkness made walking hazardous, she found a small meadow and fell asleep. Back home, her father was frantic at her disappearance, and he organized the neighbors to search for his daughter, and they searched well into the night, and then returned home defeated. But her father continued on by himself in the dead of night, and finally, just before dawn, as he rounded the mountain and came upon his daughter sleeping in a meadow. His voice rang out as he crashed through the branches and awakened his daughter, who turned to her father, and with a great shout of joy, she exclaimed, "Daddy, I found you. I wish you many such discoveries for these coming Christmas days, as you yourself, from the depth of your heart, name the Savior that is coming among us with blessings and life. Merry Christmas."